Brother Esposito, we're glad that he is with us and is going to be able to be a part of our missions, our missions revival, and he was here, so it's like, let's have him on Sunday and let's get started a week early. And so we're glad to have him with us this morning. Brother Esposito, why don't you come?
All right, if you have a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 9. What a beautiful song. I'm ready to change my message on that one. Somebody say amen. Amen. That really should be the desire of our heart. In Philippians chapter 3, when Paul said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, Paul was writing those words 34 years after he was saved. His heart's desire was to know Jesus a little bit more today than he knew him yesterday, to know Jesus a little bit more tomorrow than he knew him today. And that ought to be our heart's desire. And if you're anything like me, and I think you are, our hearts are so prone to wander. What a beautiful song. Thank you for that song. If you're able to, let's stand. Romans chapter 9. Pastor Myers asked me a few days ago if I'd be willing to speak this morning and this evening, sort of to kick off the missions revival that's coming up. Looking forward to having Brother Board. He's going to be a great blessing. And I don't know of a missionary doing more and a team doing more than our team in Cambodia. God is just, it's hard to explain how much God is doing there. And I know we're not supposed to compare, but we do. compared to what is going on in Cambodia, God is just doing some amazing things. They had their celebration service this morning there. Great crowd, people getting baptized, and you're going to be challenged. You're going to be encouraged. You'll want to be in every one of the services. God has used him mightily, as well as other team members there and the nationals there, to reach the Cambodian people for Christ. He'll have a lot of stories. His video presentation is going to be a blessing and an encouragement. Romans chapter 9, we're going to read a few verses. And this morning, we're going to emphasize reaching around the corner. Tonight, we'll emphasize reaching around the world. Because the truth of the matter is, when we talk about missions, it does start in Jerusalem. So we're going to spend a little time this morning talking about reaching our Jerusalem. Because it's good to be missions-minded, and it's good to send missionaries, and it's good to pray and give and to go to the othermost parts of the earth. But the truth of the matter is this, we got to reach Jerusalem. We have to reach right here. And so we're going to emphasize that this morning. It'll be a real practical message, just a few practical thoughts. Romans chapter 9, I'll read out loud. You read along with me silently. The Bible says in verse number 1, I say the truth in Christ. Of course, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness. Can I get you to say heaviness? The word heaviness there means deep grief. Deep grief. Uncontrollable grief. That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. The Apostle Paul, as he writes these words to the church at Rome, it follows Romans chapter 8. If you read Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul talks about the glory of heaven in light of the suffering that we go through here. In Romans chapter 8, he's talking about the glory of heaven. He's rejoicing in heaven in the midst of our suffering here. We can always rejoice knowing there's a better day coming. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then all of a sudden, after thinking about heaven, Paul writes these words. And we're going to talk about these words. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness. I'm thankful for Pacific Baptist Church. These are the greatest days in the history of the church. I'm thankful for Pastor Myers and his family and the staff. What a tremendous job that they're doing. We're thankful that Pastor Joe is able to be with us again this morning. We're thankful, Father, for the just a good crowd here today. The great crowd going out soul winning yesterday. And of course, the big crowd, I saw pictures of it, the big crowd here for the meeting yesterday, the workers' meeting. These are good days. And we're thankful for this church that has a heart not only for Jerusalem, but for the world. I pray, Father, in the few moments that we have this morning, you would encourage us, you would challenge us, because the truth of the matter is, Father, that we have a missions revival coming, and we have one-by-one soul winning, no doubt. We have fall program and friend day and a lot of things that are going to emphasize reaching around the corner. So I pray that we can focus on that a little bit this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul is in the city of Corinth. It's about 57, 58 AD. It's about 25 years after the Apostle Paul was saved and started serving the Lord Jesus. He writes this letter to the church at Rome. He had a desire to go to Rome. We're not going to go into the reasons why. One of the reasons was that's where the capital of the Roman Empire was. But he had this desire to one day go to Rome. He did not know the people in the church of Rome. Some commentators believe that the church may have been started by some of Paul's converts, but nobody knows for sure. But as Paul is on his third missionary journey, he's writing this letter about 57, 58 AD. He's writing this letter to the church at Rome. And in this letter, of course, those of us who've been Christians for a while, we understand there's a lot of great doctrinal truth, probably the greatest book of doctrine in the Bible, a lot of great doctrinal truth in this book. And as I said a moment ago, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, he's talking about the suffering and our world's filled with suffering. You know, I came here, of course, my son and daughter-in-law, they just lost their baby. Hope went to heaven a couple days ago. You know, my aunt, my daughter-in-law, Seem Lee, was trying to contact my aunt, and she wasn't answering text messages, so she goes there, and she's unconscious, laying on the floor, and so she's hospitalized, and I rushed to the hospital, and of course, Pastor Joe, and we all have a story, but aren't you glad that there's a place called heaven? Somebody say amen. Amen. And so in Romans chapter 8, Paul just, he deals with this thing. Yes, there's suffering here, and yes, there's pain here, and yes, there's sorrow here, but in light of eternity, in light of heaven, it's a small thing.
Right.
It's a small thing. But then all of a sudden, Paul goes from the rejoicing about heaven to this sorrow about his Jewish brethren. Now you understand, Paul's a missionary. He's been serving and the Gentile people for many, many years now, but he never lost his heart for his people. And so in this passage of Scripture, if you still have your Bibles open, this passage of Scripture, we see the heart of Paul. He says, I say the truth of Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. Paul's saying, look, what I'm going to say to you, this is true. Then notice what he says. I have a great heaviness, a deep grief, a burden, and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were cursed. What is Paul saying? This is really powerful. Here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, if I could, now he can't, if I could, now he can't, because we're eternally secure. If I could, I'd be willing to be separated from Christ for all eternity. If my Jewish brethren would be saved. Now I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't think I could say that about anyone, no matter how near and dear they are to me. I don't think I could say, now maybe you're a better Christian than me, but I don't think I could say I would be willing to go to hell and spend eternity in hell if I thought you could be saved for that. Now maybe you could. But that's what Paul is saying. As I read these words, throughout the years as I've read these words, it's brought conviction, it's challenged me about my burden. He says, I wish that I could be a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to take a couple moments because Mission Revival is getting ready to start. And on Thursday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night, and tonight, by the way, we're going to be talking about around the world. You're going to talk about Cambodia, and we talk about China and Thailand and Laos and around the world. And we know that the world is in desperate need of the gospel. And you're going to hear Brother Board talk about over the next few days when he's here and his videos and his testimonies. And you're going to hear about the 8,500 villages that don't have a gospel witness. No doubt he's probably going to mention the 1040 window. You're going to hear me talk a little bit about China. And our hearts are going to be stirred for the world. Like Paul's was. For the world. But Paul never lost his desire to see his people saved. For him, that was the Jewish people. Now, he didn't leave his calling, but he had this burden to see his people saved. And the question I want to ask this morning, how about us? Do we have a burden today for the lost people in the United States of America? And we talked a little bit about that last Sunday night. Do we have a burden for our next door neighbors, our family, our friends? Do we have a burden for the lost around the corner? Over the next couple days, you're going to hear a lot about around the world, but what about around the corner? Many of us are familiar with the story of the Titanic. You could literally preach a series of messages on the Titanic. There's a lot of parallels between the Titanic and the United States of America. The Titanic was the greatest ship up until that time, the greatest ship ever built. It was built specifically for luxury, comfort, safety, and security. Sounds so much like America. Before the launch of the Titanic, they said it's indestructible. But the Titanic, on its maiden journey, with some of the wealthiest people in the world, the most noble people in the world, sunk. 1,500 of the 2,200 people died. If you know anything about the story, they... By the way, not the movie. Somebody say amen. It's amazing how they could take such a tragedy and turn it into a romance, amen? An immoral one at that. If you know anything about the story, there were survivors, of course. I like to read something that I read a few years ago. It says, the story of the Titanic expresses the life-saving potential of every church. Can I get you to say every church? On the night of April 15th, 1912, the Titanic disappeared beneath the surface of the North Atlantic. The unsinkable ship had betrayed those who trusted in her. By the way, our trust is in Christ and Christ alone. Somebody say amen. Amen. With only 20 lifeboats available, they didn't even have enough lifeboats for the people on the ship. With only 20 lifeboats available, hundreds of people were left to perish. The lifeboats, some only partially filled, rowed to safety beyond the desperate reach of those struggling in the icy waters. The justification for not helping, can I get you to say not helping? The justification for not helping the drowning was that the lifeboats might capsize. So try to imagine this. There's these lifeboats going and they're not full. They're not even filled to capacity. People are screaming. People are crying out for help. People are freezing and drowning in the North Atlantic. And there's lifeboats 100 yards away just sitting there, not doing a thing. The lifeboats, some only partially filled, rowed to safety beyond the desperate reach of those struggling in the icy waters. The justification for not helping the drowning was that lifeboats might be capsized. Lifeboat 14. Everybody say lifeboat 14. Let's try that one more time. Lifeboat 14. I guess if I was going to title the message today, I'd say let's be a lifeboat 14. Lifeboat 14 chose a different course. Following the cries in the darkness, they returned to save a precious few. Their reward was knowing that they had risked all to save some. Others would live with regret because they failed to reach out, but not the crew of Lifeboat 14. When called upon in the moment of need, they did the right thing for the right reason. The author goes on to say, every church should seek to be a lifeboat instead of a pleasure boat. Somebody say amen. We don't want to become so comfortable with our own salvation that we no longer hear the cries of the people drowning all around us. We should become theological schizophrenics when it comes to outreach. On one hand, we know that God is at work through every church and ministry to build his kingdom. On the other hand, we are acting as if there were no one else around. And if we don't do it, no one will. I want you to imagine for a moment, I did a little bit of research on this. Before Lifeboat 14 was dropped, I think it was four other lifeboats were dropped. And the first four lifeboats were dropped. They were dropped without any officer from the ship. And so when they were dropped, immediately the captain of the ship said, we need to have somebody who knows what he's doing on these lifeboats. So finally, lifeboat 14 drops, and they, of course, they have to get away from the Titanic, because as the Titanic is sinking, it's going to suck everything under, and they're going to go under. So they get all of the lifeboats get about 100, 150 yards away, and they're all watching, including lifeboat 14, with an officer named Lowe. They're watching, they're hearing the cries, they see the people screaming. Now, I wasn't on the other lifeboats. I don't know the whole story. But I'm sure that some of the lifeboats that were just sitting there, I'm sure some of them were saying, thank God we're saved. Somebody say amen. I'm sure many of them who were in the lifeboats were saying, phew, man, that was really close. I'm sure that many were saying, I'm thankful that we got out of there. I'm thankful that we got on a lifeboat. I'm sure there were probably some people saying, those poor souls over there. But not lifeboat 14. Maybe it was because there was an officer on the boat. We don't know. But Officer Lowe took lifeboat 14, actually transferred some of the people from lifeboat 14 onto the other boats. He and a couple other men went, and they risked it all to save a few. Amen. I can't help when I read about the Titanic to think about America, and when I read about the lifeboats to think about churches in America. You know, if we're not careful, those of us who are saved by the blood of Christ, those of us who our sins are forgiven and our names are written down in heaven, we come to a church house like this, we fellowship with the people of God, we hear the word of God, we testify of God's goodness, and we're in the safety and the security of the lifeboat while we are surrounded by those who have a need to hear the good news. Somebody say amen. God is looking for some churches that will say, I want to be a lifeboat 14. I don't want to just go to church and sing the songs of Zion. I want to do that, but I don't want to just go be fed the word of God. I want to do that. I don't want to just go and fellowship with God's people. I want to do that. I don't want to just be safe and secure and have this hedge of protection around us while those who are around us are lost without Christ. I remember years ago, and I'm sure I've shared this story years ago, when I had been saved for 4, 5, 6 months, maybe 6 months, July 7th, 1977. I still had a lot of things in my life that really needed to be worked out. By the way, I still have a lot of things in my life that need to be worked out. I was at a concert at Anaheim Stadium. No, they weren't singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Someone say amen. It was a rock concert. I was surrounded by 50,000 people, and I was saved, and, you know, everybody's doing their thing, and I was with a girl that I was dating at the time, and the Holy Spirit was really convicting me. Now, he was convicting me about the music, but that wasn't the only thing he was convicting me about. I remember, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I remember the Lord speaking to my heart saying, you have what all these people need. Folks, we have what all those people need out there.
Right.
They need Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Somebody told me about Jesus, and somebody told you about Jesus. We have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to get to the place in our lives where we say, look, I'm saved. If I'm not just saved to go to heaven. I'm not just saved to have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not just saved to know God, though that's a priority, but I'm saved to serve God. and tell others about Jesus. Let me, real quickly, I'm going to give you some really practical things about around the corner, Jerusalem. Some very practical things. Number one, we need to ask God to open our eyes to see the world through his eyes. Look, you know, when I first got saved, and I got saved drugs and alcohol, and I got saved from a real dysfunctional background. When I first got saved, I had a real burden for people. I had a burden for people who came from the kind of lifestyle that I came from, and I wanted to see everybody saved. And I was in the United States Army, and I got permission. I set up a table. I bought Chick tracts and Bibles and all kinds of things, and I became really zealous. Why? Because I was excited about what God had done in my life, and I knew that the people that I knew, my friends, my fellow soul, they needed Jesus. Somebody say amen. Yes, and I got excited about it. And when I looked at the world, and when I looked at family, when I looked at friends, I mean, I called my mother. I called my father, collect. I called my mother. I called my father. Most of you don't even know what collect means. I called my mother and called my father. But those were the good old days. I called my mother and I called my father within a couple minutes after trusting Christ. I trusted Christ in a telephone booth. And the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to tell them about Jesus. Amen. I started telling my friends in the barracks about Jesus. But then I started growing in the Lord. And then I got surrounded by Christians. And then I got comfortable. It's very easy for our hearts to become calloused. It's easy for us to go to a Starbucks or a gas station or to pay the rent and forget that the people that we're talking to are lost without Christ. We need to ask God to open our eyes to see the world through his eyes. Not only the world across the Atlantic or across the Pacific, but the world across the street. Yes, sir. Where we work, where we live, where we go to school. Number two, we need to ask God to break our hearts for the lost, not only around the world, but around the corner. Paul had this deep grief for his Jewish brethren. Paul said, man, I'd be willing to go to hell to see them saved. And the question that most of us, and myself included, have to ask, when was the last time I even wept over my lost next door neighbor? We say we believe in hell, but do we? When was the last time I wept over a lost loved one? When was the last time I lost sleep because of the person that I work with, or my buddy, my friend, the person I go to school with? When was the last time I... Hey, by the way, guys, listen, let's not curse the darkness. Let's light a candle. Somebody say amen. You know, Christians in America, we've got a real serious problem. We spend so much time cursing the darkness. Don't curse the darkness. There's nothing biblical about cursing the darkness. Shine brightly. Yes. Light a candle. Well, you know, my next door neighbors, they play their rock music really loud. When was the last time you prayed for their salvation? Well, you know, man, the guy's in a drunken stupor and I've been doing this and this and that. Father, forgive them. He knows not what he does. God, break my heart. Look, folks, if you've been alive for any length of time in America, you know America's changed. Somebody say amen. But wait, let me just be a prophet here. America has changed. America is changing. And America will continue to change, not the way you want it. Somebody say amen. So we can sit there and curse it and whine about it all day long, but that's not what God wants us to do. Let's tell somebody about Jesus. Let's love them. Ask God to help us find creative ways to build relationships and share the good news of Jesus with our neighbors. Look, most of us, wherever you live, unless you live in China, but wherever you live, there's a lot of children in your neighborhood. Children who do not come from Christian homes. Children who do not have somebody to bring them to church. Why don't you love those children to Jesus? Somebody say amen. Amen. Find creative ways. You know, my wife and I, years ago, we moved down here on the west side purposely in a bad neighborhood. And to just to reach people for Christ, gangbangers and drug dealers. I mean, because they need Jesus. Jesus loves them just like he loves me. And so, you know, every Tuesday night we would have a Bible study. We would invite the children. I learned if you feed them, they will come. Somebody say amen. And we'd have pizza and chicken wings, and they came. We'd play games, and we could love them to Jesus. You know, they'll do the same thing in your neighborhood. Especially if you have, I don't know, Xbox or whatever they have nowadays. I can remember when I used to work at Bellflower High School to supplement my income. We had a Bible study in my home. We'd have 60 to 70 public school teenagers in my home once a week. You say, how did that happen? Well, the grace of God and pizza and chicken. Somebody say amen. When I was at Bellflower High School, and I, by the way, I had the in-school suspension class, I would tell them, come to my house tonight, pizza, chicken, and I'm going to teach the Bible. And they came. We'd have question and answer, and they asked sometimes really weird questions. You know, nothing like, you know, you're sitting there in front of 60 teenagers and the girl says, so Johnny, are you circumcised? Okay, next question. All right, let's go to that next question. Yeah, one teenage girl said, what was it, Maisha, I think it was Maisha, she said, hey, what's the deal about beer and crackers in the church service? I had no idea what she was talking about the Lord's Supper, beer and crackers. But can I just say something? Those kids had very little chance of ever hearing the gospel, but we were willing to open up our home, get some pizza, get some chicken, invite them to come. That'll work at your house too. Find creative ways to just love people to Jesus. Get involved. Yeah, hopefully I'm not saying anything. Get involved with the little league and go out there and help coach. You say, yeah, but they might cuss. Yeah, no, they're not going to. Might cuss. They are going to cuss. Somebody say amen. But you can have an influence in their life. I remember years ago, I was coach of our basketball team for 18 years, and we took our basketball team to play Franklin or Marshall or one of the public school teams. We took our junior varsity team over there playing. My son Joshua was on the team, and we were beating the team, and they were mad because, you know, our guys were all midgets, and we were just blowing them out, you know. They had these big old dudes. And my son, we're going to the locker room or the corner. My son Josh said, Dad, those kids are cussing. I said, that's what lost people do, amen. But wait, Christians do it too sometimes, amen. Look, when you're around lost people, they do what lost people do. I think I told you the other day when I invited Maggie over our house and she brought, you know, half the neighborhood in Kunming, China, she bought me a bottle of wine. That's what they do. I didn't drink it. I didn't drink. My wife did, but I didn't drink it. But anyway, not my wife did. You know, that's what lost people do.
That's right.
When you're around lost people, they do what lost people do, but hey, somebody's got to love them to Jesus.
Right. Amen.
By the way, my wife and I brought the wine here and gave it to the Pichardos. But anyway. Number four, real quickly. Ask God to help us get out of our comfort zone. Folks, we're just too comfortable. We're just too comfortable in our padded pews and our air-conditioned auditoriums, and we're surrounded by Christians, and nobody's got... Say, God, help me to get out of my comfort zone. There's a world that is lost without Christ, and it's in your neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
Get some tracks. By the way, Brother Pitaro, I think you're in charge. Make sure the tracks are where we could get them. Somebody say amen. Out of sight, out of mind. Get some tracks. Everywhere you go get a Starbucks. I know you hang out at Starbucks. Go give them a track. You say, oh, they'll never make a difference. It made a difference in my life.
Come on.
Invite people to services. Invite people. Be hospitable. Invite people over your house to eat. Just find creative ways. Get out of your comfort zone. And number five, real quickly, get involved. You have one by one, right? Get involved. Look, the one thing about Pacific Baptist Church, you have a lot of things that will help you. Get involved with one by one. Look, most of us, we have a desire to see family and friends saved. We just don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. Get involved with one by one. It also gives you a set time. Now look, Jesus didn't have a set time to go soul winning. The disciples didn't have a set time to go soul winning. They did it all the time. But you know what? They were a little bit more spiritual than most of us. Somebody say amen. You know, everyone, well, I don't need a set time to go soul winning. When the Spirit leads. You know what I found? Maybe you're different than me. The Spirit doesn't lead nearly as often as he ought to. Somebody say amen. So it's good to have a set time. You have Tuesday. You have Saturday. I think the teenagers have Thursday. Get involved with one by one. You have a fall program, and you're going to do all kinds of off-the-wall things. Robert's going to dress up like Donald Trump, and you're going to have all kinds of things. And you're going to have, athlete day. And of course, everybody's a Golden State Warrior fan, so everybody's got a Steph Curry jersey, that type of thing. And you're going to do a lot of things, fun things. Hey, get involved with that, okay? Friend day. Yeah, friend day this year, right? Friend day. What a great day. Friend day. By the way, let me just say this, and I've said this in the past. Don't just befriend somebody for friend day and drop them if they don't come to the church service. That's not what Jesus would do. Don't go say, will you be my friend? Here, let me sign you up on the contract. And they don't come to church service. And say, yeah, I'm wiping the dust off my feet. You're a pagan. That's... By the way, Jesus was called a friend, accused of being a friend of sinners. When was the last time anybody accused you or me of being a friend of sinners? Well, Jesus must have been a backslider because he was a friend of sinners.
Amen.
No, maybe were the backsliders. Paul's a missionary. His heart is for the world. His calling's for the world. But he never lost his heart's desire for his people. Over the next couple days, the emphasis is going to be primarily the world. You're going to hear a lot about Cambodia. And boy, Cambodia desperately needs a gospel. You've heard a lot the last couple years about China. China desperately needs a gospel. You may hear a little bit about Laos and Thailand. And there's so many countries that desperately need the gospel. Even more so, so much more so than the United States of America. But your family and your friends and your neighbors and your co-laborers and the people you go to school with, your children go to school with, they need Jesus too. God, help us to have the same burden Paul had for his people. By the way, Paul's burden was not for the country, for the citizens. It wasn't memories of the past, but the people. It was all about the people. Let's stand. Let's pray.